All right, welcome back here in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Soren Petro with you. Thanks for joining us here on a Victory Friday. We are on the road. Jim Beam Bourbon Tour is where we're at. Sign up, name and phone number, and you can win a Yeti cooler, cutting edge, highest tech cooler on earth. It's what they transport organs in. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds good. Makes for a pretty good statement. But it's a heck of a cooler, I'll tell you that. And you can come down and sample the wonderful flavors of Jim Beam as Rudy is going on a seek and purchase mission for us on our Jim Beam bourbon purchase. You can come down and check out the world's number one bourbon. They've got all the samples, honey, vanilla, red stag. You can try the peach, the apple, the Jim Beam fire. Great, great stuff right now. And, of course, when you're out at Arrowhead, make sure you check out the Jim Beam Stillhouse Bar. It's right next to the Hall of Fame at Arrowhead. You can get Jim Beam Peach Lemonade there. Always drink smart. Always drink responsibly. But get yourself some of that wonderful Jim Beam. There's a reason why. It's the number one bourbon in the world, for crying out loud, and the official bourbon of the Kansas City Royals. So come on by, sample some wonderful Jim Beam bourbons, and get signed up for a Jim Beam cooler. It is the Yeti cooler. Oh, that was interesting. Rudy just came back by and grabbed his wallet. If I'd have known his wallet had been sitting there, I'd have rifled through it and come away with something. 913-3-810-810, the phone number, 913-3-810-810, if you'd like to talk some Chiefs football. Chiefs winning last night 30-6. I'm going to bring this up. First of all, I'm hearing, getting some word now. We talked about Matt Moore filling in, that Chad Henne could be ready. You heard Andy Reid earlier that Chad Henne not eligible to come back until after Week 8. That'll be after the Packer game, but probably a couple weeks. So maybe the Packer and Viking game, and then Chad Henne could be back. Do they stay with Matt Moore? Do they go back to Chad Henne? I don't know, but we will see. And I do think an interesting roster move. They're going to have to do something because I don't think they're going to go into the game with the Packers with just Matt Moore. They don't have to do anything right now. But Kyle Shurmur is the only other quarterback on their roster. So if they were to activate Kyle Shurmur, they'll have to let somebody go to create the roster space. They're going to have to let somebody go to create the roster space for Chad Henne if and when he does come back. It looks like it could be a couple of weeks that he is back there. But, you know, everybody says, well, is there somebody out there they can go sign? I asked Adam Teicher, who's a better quarterback right now, Matt Moore or Colin Kaepernick? I don't want to sit and debate about Colin Kaepernick and his stance and what he's done, but this is, I'm going to say this, and I've said it before, if there's a head coach that could handle the firestorm that would come with signing Colin Kaepernick, it's Andy Reid. He handled the firestorm that came with signing Mike Vick. And if there's a guy who could design an offense that's perfectly tailored to Colin Kaepernick, it's either Jim Harbaugh, well, he's coaching at Michigan, or it's this guy, Andy Reid, who I think would just take something somewhere in between Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith's offense, use his legs, use his ability to run, use the strong arm. You've got the firepower, you've got the talent. And if Colin Kaepernick really wants to play football, which I think is a tremendous question, I've had the statement, I thought it was really well put by Joel Corey, cap expert, former NFL agent. When I asked him, does Colin Kaepernick ever play football again? And his answer was no, because he's too valuable to the cause as a martyr. And if the cause is more important than his football career, then I don't think Colin Kaepernick ever will play, because I think that was astutely stated by Joel Corey. I think he absolutely, even if he's had offers as a backup, so they've been able to engineer the scenario that the NFL will not sign Colin Kaepernick. There were reports that the Seahawks were interested in him, but in a backup role. And the report said that Kaepernick was only interested in a starting role. Was that just because he saw the bigger need and the more importance in not being signed and keeping his name and the cause, what it is he was kneeling for, out there on the front lines? I don't think it's on the front lines anymore. I don't think it's being discussed. That may be a reason that he would want to come in. It may be a reason he would take a lesser role than he was not willing to take last time. I don't know. Or maybe after 3 years of not playing football, there's just too much rust to knock off and you couldn't get it done. I tend to think that's not true. I think it might take a few games to get the rust knocked off, and by that point, Patrick Mahomes might be back, and there's a reason to not mess with it. Why go through a firestorm of criticism and attention with Colin Kaepernick. If it's going to take him three or four games to get up to speed and playing at a high level, and then at that point Patrick Mahomes is ready to come back, what did you really do it all for if he's not going to play well? To me, Colin Kaepernick in a Chiefs uniform as the backup to Patrick Mahomes is the best possible scenario, would have been the best possible scenario this past offseason. But if you're not willing to go down that road, you're not willing to go down that road. I do think if any head coach in the NFL could handle it and thrive with it, it's Andy Reid. I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen with Andy Reid, or it's not going to happen at all. And I would say most likely it's not going to happen at all. But if Adam Teicher's right, if I'm right, because I think Colin Kaepernick's a better quarterback than Matt Moore, then doing what would be best for your football team to win games, maybe not at the bottom line, but would be to sign Colin Kaepernick. I don't think we're going to see it, however. 913-810-810. We'll open up the phone lines, take your calls here for the next couple of segments till we get to our need to know, as we have not had a chance to talk with too many people. So grab a phone line right now. They're open at 913-810-810. Let's talk to Zach. You're in the program. Zach, what's going on, buddy?
Hey.
Go ahead, Zach.
So I just want to talk a little bit about defense. I was actually kind of skeptical at the beginning of the game. I didn't know how they would handle Patrick Mahomes being out. Time of possession was definitely in their hands, though. But, I mean, for a game with Mahomes being out, they played pretty well. And in the light of him being out, you know, they probably didn't get most of the credit. But I think they did pretty good, even though we all know Joe Flacco is not the quarterback he used to be in Baltimore. But
I think your phone's kind of breaking up, or you've got your radio turned up, and so you're a little bit choppy there, so I'm going to let you go. But to your point, no, I don't think the defense got as much credit as it probably deserved for that game for a couple of reasons. One, as you pointed out, the headline is down goes league MVP Patrick Mahomes. So lost in the mix is that the Chiefs defense held the Broncos to a little less than 28 minutes time of possession, held the rushing attack to just 71 yards after giving up more than 180 for four consecutive games, and held them to just over 200 yards, 205 total and 6 points in the game. And I think you can say that maybe the biggest momentum play, and look, it might have been the injury to Patrick Mahomes that fired up the defense, fired up the Chiefs. They had already given up the 6 points before he got hurt, and they pitched a shutout after he got hurt. But I think maybe the biggest momentum play of the game for that defense was when yet another penalty. And we know that first drive going down the field, you can even make a case. Let me go back and look at this. How many penalties? I want to say 4 or 5 penalties on that opening drive for the Broncos, which netted them the touchdown. If you don't have those penalties,
I think it was 3.
You know, maybe it was it 3.
Yeah, two maybe that they converted third downs, and then one that was on the touchdown.
Okay, maybe you don't end up having that touchdown if they don't get those penalties. They had them. They get it. They get the 1 yard, and then stopping them for the 2-point conversion, I thought was a huge momentum. I think when that's one of the things when everybody wants to go for two. When you don't get there, which undoubtedly if you go for two, there are going to be times you don't get it. It is a huge momentum builder for the other team. I thought the Chiefs defense just absolutely lit up after getting that stop. Thank you, Rudy. After getting that stop in that game, and I think it was giant. And I give a lot of credit. And I'll tell you what, I give a lot of credit. I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, I was pretty critical a couple of days ago, and I'll stand by the criticism I gave to Derek Nnadi. I don't think he played well against the Colts or the Texans. I think he got worked over. But I think he had a hell of a game this last time out. I thought he played fantastic against the Denver Broncos, and I think that was a big part of why they had success. So, Zach, to your point about the defense, I give a lot of credit to the interior defensive line. When you're not stopping the run, a big reason you're not stopping the run are those interior defensive linemen. And Derek Nnadi, it starts with him. I mean, he's the 3 technique. He's the guy on the inside that everybody wants to double and get out of the way. And that had been happening without double teams against the Colts. It was not happening against the Denver Broncos. So I give great credit to Derek Nnadi. And listen, Derek Nnadi had a big night. He's got to be happy. Frank Clark had a big night. He's got to be happy. Anthony Hitchens had a big night. He's got to be happy. Tyrann Mathieu played well. He's got to be happy. And maybe the happiest guy of the bunch would be Brett Veach, the general manager. You know, he's received a lot of criticism from a lot of folks because the defense hasn't played well. And, you know, people asking, where are these big money signings stepping up? Well, five tackles and two sacks for Frank Clark. Anthony Hitchens, two sacks. He makes six total tackles. Tyrann Mathieu tied for second on the team with five tackles. Agba gets a sack in this game. Okafor gets two. Those are two more additions Brett Veach added to this team. I think it was a great game for the general manager as well. And I think you saw what his vision really was on the defensive side of the ball for this team.
I think you really pinpointed that first drive well, because at the end of that drive, when that touchdown popped, the narrative at that point was penalties, and mistakes. And rarely do you get to give up a touchdown as a defense and yet end that drive with a positive. And that's what they got on that two-point conversion, because as much as I gave credit to, you know, the emotion of the Mahomes thing driving the defense, before that happened, those next two drives after they stopped them and the Chiefs scored to go up one, three and out, in which the Chiefs defense pinned them so deep that they got the ball and a nice return at the 21-yard line right there in field goal range to add another 3 points, and then a three and out. So they had already begun to turn that tide before the Mahomes injury even happened, and part of it had to be because of the emotional lift from that stop on the two-point conversion.
Yeah, I think that was just giant, and it was. And, we you know, I don't know, I like to get together with friends and watch the game, and the conversation that was going on at my place was, same old Chiefs, mm-hmm. Here we go. Let's just hope that Patrick Mahomes can out-boat race the Denver Broncos. But, you know, listen, I do buy the, well, now his ankle's at least going to get a chance to heal. And I don't like him getting hurt to get it done.
Right.
But that is a sidebar, is that hopefully when he does come back, and hopefully it's right after the bye week, or maybe it's sooner, but whenever he does come back, he'll actually be 100% healthy. He can get healthy. And a healthy Patrick Mahomes for the final five games is dangerous for everybody else in the league. 913-3-810-810. Bo, you're in the program. What's going on, Bo?
Hey, what's up, Saran? Hey, I got a couple of questions. If they're looking at a quarterback, why don't they go after somebody temporary like Eli Manning and won't cost much money?
Well, he'll cost a lot of money. You mean won't cost a lot in a trade?
Yeah.
You know, I think if, you know, the vibe I get from kind of poking around out there is that they feel like, I think there is a lot of confidence. I think the reports that are out there are accurate that he's not going to be out for that long. I think if he were going to be out for the rest of the year, if the tendon were torn and he wasn't coming back this year, then you'd see the Chiefs look around and possibly trading for a quarterback. But Matt Moore did a solid job. I think they like Chad Henne. I've always felt Chad Henne. Hell, I remember last year's training camp, part of the conversation, and that was, again, a lot of the conversation was coming from people who had said that Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to be any good, so maybe they were pushing this narrative a little louder than it should have been. But I think there was some truth to that. Maybe Chad Henne had played at least as well or better than Patrick Mahomes in training camp last year. Now, I don't think that means he's going to play better than him now, but I think he had played well when he's been asked to play in training camp. So if Chad Henne's going to be back in a couple of weeks, which is what I'm kind of hearing is going to be the deal, then I think they'll stay the course and not mess around with the cap.
About,
you know, any cap money, any cap, and just a second, and I'll let you finish, Bo. Any cap money they don't spend now, they can roll over into next year. And they've already got $190 million on the books for next year. Now, I think Sammy Watkins will be gone. $14 million will come down there. There'll be some other guys. But do keep in mind, I mean, just to spend it because you got it, hey, it's money you'll have next year if you don't spend it now and be able to add some pieces to next year's team, Bo.
But when you – well, what about this scenario? If they're not going to go that, can they go – I mean, look at maybe scenarios doing Marty Ball, maybe upgrading the defense. I heard something like maybe – a second, third-round pick for Geno Atkins. They could cut him at the end of the year if it wouldn't cost them too much. Or upgrade, you know, the cornerback situation, Josh Norman, Patrick Peterson, somebody like that. Or the free safety from San Francisco. I heard them talking about that, too, as well. And maybe the linebacker, Preston or Bruston from Arizona.
I don't think that there's any, and I appreciate the call, Bo, and I think those are all good points. I'll add in Lee Williams The defensive end, defensive tackle, he'd probably play in this scheme for the New York Jets, as a guy who's not a great pass rusher, but is a really good run stuffer. I'll put him into the mix. And Geno Atkins, I don't think he's a guy you trade for and cut. I think he's a guy you trade for and keep. I know he's getting up there in years, but he's. I'll have to look. I haven't, you know, the Chiefs haven't played the Bengals, so I can't tell you I've looked at what he's grading at, or, and I haven't watched a Bengals game yet, so. I can't tell you what he's done on the field, but assuming he's the old Geno Atkins, good choice, my friend. Assuming he's the old Geno Atkins, then I think that's a guy that you'd like to keep here. But, yeah, I think they're all about going and making a move to make the defense better. I'm not that interested in Josh Norman personally, but you mentioned Patrick Peterson. Yeah, I think the Chiefs would love I know they've called about Patrick Peterson in the past, but there's another report here in the last couple of days. The Cardinals are adamant that Patrick Peterson's not on the trade market. Why? I don't know. You know, I will say this. Every win that the Cardinals pick up makes it less likely if they think that they're actually in contention. And they got another one last week. At 2-3-1, though, you're chasing 5-0 49ers, 5-1 Seahawks, and the 3-3 Rams. Not to mention that Carolina's 4-2 and on a roll. Saints are 5-1. Packers are 5-1. Vikings are 4-2. I think there's too many teams for the Cardinals to get over to think they're going to make the playoffs this year. And you've only got Peterson under contract for this year and next. So I think the Cardinals should be trading Peterson. I think he's the ideal guy for the Chiefs to go out and get, because you don't have to sign him to a new deal. At least theoretically, you don't have to sign him to a new deal. So I love that idea. But if the reports are true that they're not going to trade him, then they're not going to trade him. And so you look elsewhere. I think the Jets are going to move on Williams, you know, any one of a number of guys. Any quality defensive player, I think, is a possibility for the Chiefs, because I think the moves they've made of late say that they are all in right now. 913-810-810, the phone number, 913-810-810. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls. We are live in the Northland at Price Chopper, 500 Northeast Berry Road. The Jim Beam Bourbon Tour continues. Stop number two for us on the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour is here at the northeast corner of North Oak and Berry Road. The official bourbon of the Kansas City Royals and the world's number one bourbon is Jim Beam. This gentleman making a wise choice. I can speak very highly of the Jim Beam Black Extra Aged. It is a wonderful, wonderful bourbon, and I will tell you, will probably be in a glass at my house later tonight. I will tell you that for sure. Stock up right now. Get signed up to win a Yeti cooler. It's a backpack cooler. All we need is a name and a number. Just get here before 6 o'clock. We'll make the drawing at 6. You don't have to be present to win. We will call you, and you'll just pick it up here at the Price Chopper on Berry Road. We'll take a break. You're coming back. More of your phone calls next here in the program.
New time, same team. The program with Saren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz end of the hour answer. On this date in 1977, Reggie Jackson became the second player to hit 3 home runs in a World Series game, joining Babe Ruth. 2 have done it since. I asked for either one.
Give me the question again.
Since Reggie Jackson, who did it on this date, became the second player to hit 3 homers in a World Series game, 2 other players have done it since then. I asked for either one.
3 homers in a World Series game?
Mm-hmm. And the hint is they happened in back-to-back years.
Why don't I remember this? That seems like I should remember this. Barry Bonds?
Nope.
God, he had that monster series against the Angels. Mm-hmm. He didn't do it? Mm-mm. Troy Glaus?
Mm-mm. Both have happened in the last decade.
Last 10 years. Carlos Correa?
Mm-mm.
I don't know what the hell. I'm throwing darts here. I got nothing.
Albert Pujols of the Cardinals in 2011. And then
I don't remember that at all.
Pablo Sandoval of the Giants in game 1 in 2012 against Detroit.
Of course.
You got that question immediately? Craig Brenner.
Yeah.
You
really?
He sends me Pujols and Kung Fu Panda. I'm like, nice work.
Wow. Wow. Well done, Brenner. You a little goof, yeah?
Don't give credit to Brenner.
I'll give credit to Brenner. Brenner. Ah, man. Best technical director we ever had, right,
yep,
Curtis?
Yep, I'm telling you.
I thought Rob was pretty strong, and I know Garrett was better than me. But, yeah, Brenner was way better than me, too.
Oh, sorry, Jed. I thought you were busy. My bad. 913-3810-810. Talking Chiefs football. They win 30-6. The defense dominates. The quarterback gets hurt. Your phone calls right now, 913-3810-810. We are playing for great Cajun food from Jazz. A Louisiana kitchen there, great spot to go. If you are looking for a place to go tonight, they'll have live music and great, great Cajun food plus great service. I know it's where my family goes for Cajun food. It's Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. We're here with the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour. And a lot of people come sample the bourbons, and a lot of people take them home. Why? Because they're really, really good. So come check it out. Number one bourbon in the world is Jim Beam. We're at the northeast corner of North Oak and Berry Road, 500 Northeast Berry Road. We'd love to see you. Say hello. We've had some goodies for folks, and we're still signing people up to win this awesome Yeti cooler, so still time to get here. Come see us if you're up here in the Northland. Let's go to the phones. Mark is waiting patiently. You're in the program, Mark. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, friend. Doing well, thanks. Yeah, good. I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I've been glued to Twitter basically since last night, trying to get some updates, and unfortunately, I decided to read comments and other things on several of the feeds. And what I saw was, and I don't know whether it's predominantly Chiefs fans, but people saying, okay, well, you know, what should we do? Should we? And they were saying this before he dislocated his kneecap, but when he had the ankle injury, you know, why don't we just sit him until he's 100%? Because we want him, you know, we want to have a healthy Patrick Mahomes. And now I'm hearing the same thing now that he's got a more serious injury. I even saw somebody that just sit him the rest of the year because we want this guy to be our quarterback for the next 15 years. And I mean, I it's really frustrating to me because, you know, when it's Christmas time and you get your favorite toy, you don't think I'm going to put this on my shelf just so I can stare at it. You want to play with the toy. You want the toy. You want to get full joy from it. You don't want to just stare at it. I mean, that and we have the perfect Christmas gift for the next 15 years. I understand, you know, we have recent memories of quarterbacks getting rushed back from injury, and then they fizzle out or whatever. They're poorly handled. But I think a lot of it is the Chiefs psyche, fan psyche. We just don't know how to act with the franchise quarterback, and we don't want to go back to the way it was. So it's like, at all costs, protect Patrick Mahomes.
I think you're right, Mark, and I appreciate the call, buddy. And it's frustrating because it's ridiculous. I mean, it's what he's been drafted to do is play the game. It's also frustrating and really almost warrants no time because it's never going to happen. You're not going to pay a guy millions of dollars, which, yes, he's not making the $30 or $40 million he's going to make later, but he's still making $3 or $4 million. He's paid to play football, and if he can play football, he's going to play. So there is no not playing Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, if they sat him down and they lost two games in a row, everybody who was telling you sit him down would be like, why isn't he playing? So don't worry. Don't let it bother you, Mark. 913-3810-810. Norman, you're next in the program. What's up, Norman?
Hey, guys. A couple of things. First of all, was it just my perception from television, but it seemed like after that first drive, the Chiefs DBs really did away with a lot of the hand-checking and stuff that they really been hammered for all season. And secondly, can I just say how good it was to see Reggie Ragland back on the field last night? I'll get off here and listen on the radio.
Yeah, you bet, Norman. Thank you for the call, bud, particularly with him playing like that. And that's another thing. Listen, I think one of the reasons why maybe the Chiefs get labeled as finesse or soft or something like that is there's a lot of nice guys. Reggie Ragland is a great guy. Talking to him, I love talking to him up at training camp. I've had a chance to do that a couple of times. And I think he's a really good guy, and to see him go out there and play well was great. He dropped some weight to be faster in this 4-3 defense. And you know, I think the fact – I don't think he's a great pass rusher, right? It's not what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a run-stuffing thumper. But he did a great job of getting after the quarterback. And let's give some credit to Steve Spagnuolo for designing a defensive game plan that allowed Reggie Ragland to shine. That's what great coaches do. You tailor the scheme to fit the skills of the guys that are playing for you. And Ragland was outstanding. Derek Nottie was outstanding. Frank Clark was outstanding. You know, across the board, nobody had a bad night. Who had a bad night on defense? No one. And so, look, what we hope is happening is that there is good talent here, and now it's starting to come together. They're understanding the scheme, and Steve Spagnuolo is understanding fully the talents that he has. I mentioned earlier, you know, when we were in training camp and all throughout the first 4 weeks, that I would not even begin to be critical of the defense until they had played four games, right? Get the first four games, I'm not going to criticize. After the fifth game, we'll start critiquing it. You know, I think there's some truth in that. I think maybe it was six games that we needed before we could truly evaluate it. And maybe Denver just sucks. So let's not get too carried away. I do think that even though they've invested a lot in their offensive line, that there are issues on that offensive line. I do think Flacco is not what he used to be. And what he used to be was a guy who could get hot but could also just be meh. I mean, he had six touchdowns and five interceptions coming into this game. And I mentioned yesterday, in their two wins, he had one touchdown and two INTs. So they had been winning in spite of Joe Flacco, and they were unable to win in spite of Joe Flacco. But you know what? The Patriots have gone to nine Super Bowls. Good luck. The Patriots have gone to nine Super Bowls and won six of them by kicking the crap out of bad AFC East teams. So no one needs to apologize over at One Arrowhead Drive, and neither do we as fans for slapping around the Broncos. They suck. I'm glad they suck. It's fun to watch them suck. It's fun to watch John Elway watch them suck on TV. I thoroughly enjoyed that part of it last night. Phillip, you're in the program. What's up, Phillip?
You doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm just glad to be on your show, man. You're an awesome guy, man. I religiously listen to what you say almost every week. You're a great guy, especially with the analysis. There's just three quick things I want to leave with you. I don't want to take too much of your time. The two points is our two quarterbacks, Mahomes and Moore, and also defense. Mahomes, I'm glad to hear about him. You know, we all prayed last night from what we saw. He at least needs to stay away from at least after the bye week, because that's the best chance, especially if we're trying to be smart here, especially it'll be ready for that stretch going into January, because we're trying to pick up where we left off from January 20th of this year. Number two, Moore is the guy I'm going with. Our guy is the two-time AFC Offensive Player of the Week from 2011 and 2016. He has a better group here than he had in 2016 with the Dolphins. If we get the offensive line back healthy where it needs to be, especially with Eric Fisher in the lineup, and if you look at the guys we got as skill set, he should be pretty good if you're Matt Moore. And then last but not least, the defense. Everybody was giving the defense hell coming into this game last night. And one interesting stat I looked up last night from a Pro Football Reference was this. In the first six games from this year's defense and last year's defense gave up 372 more total passing yards than this year's defense. So it's basically saying that Spags is doing a better job. Like what you just said there before I came on, is just that everybody needed to come alive. And also noticed that we weren't doing a good job on stopping the stuff on third down, either passing or running the ball. We saw that last night. We did better at those things. And it's like what Alex Okafor said this morning. If we play like this, like the defense play like this, and if Matt Moore just play mistake-free football until Patrick come back, we're going to be all right, and that's all I just want to leave with you.
All right, Phillip, I appreciate the call, and let me say thank you for your very kind words. I do appreciate that. We work pretty hard at trying to, you know, give you a lot of insight into what's going on, so it's always nice to hear that maybe we've succeeded from time to time, so thank you on that. You mentioned the quarterbacks. So let's go in reverse, the defense. I agree. If the defense plays like that, they're fine. I mean, if they're going to play like that, then – you know, let's redo the power poles, because they're going to be back up at one or two when it's all said and done. Yes, absolutely. I think that's something that if they can play at this level. I don't know if they can play to that level. You just don't hold the modern teams to 6 points. And teams like the Packers have weapons and have Aaron Rodgers, who's a lot better than Flacco. But just if they're capable of playing like this, then they will get stops in games, and they will give their offense a chance to win. And I like your point. I wasn't even aware that Matt Moore had won those two awards. That's nice research on your part. But he's been around. He knows the scheme. He knows the system. And I think between he and Henny, and I just don't know who you're going to bring in that's going to do any better in trying to learn the offense. He's at least got it. So I think he and Henny are really your only true options right now. And I'll bring up something you mentioned about Patrick Mahomes. You know, I was on in D.C. Before we went on the air today. with Chad Dukes. And one of the things he brought up to me that he said blew him away was, he said, I'm not sure who was more upset about Patrick Mahomes being hurt, his teammates or the other team. He said it was really amazing to see how many Denver Broncos were coming over and checking on Patrick Mahomes and giving him a bump to the chest and letting him know that, you know, they cared and they were concerned about his overall welfare. And I agree, and I think that does speak to the kind of leadership you've got when you're respected not only by your own team, but by your opponent as well. 913-3810-810. Let's talk to Dave. You're in the program. Dave, what's going on? Dave, are you there, buddy? All right, we lost Dave. I apologize, Dave. I'm sorry. I tried to get to you, but we missed. I'll take a break. We're here at the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour at Price Chopper, 500 Northeast Berry Road. You can come down and sample here for a little bit. Hurry in, hustle up, and sample the wonderful flavors of Jim Beam, the world's number one bourbon. If you can't get here, just get to where you buy your bourbon. Jim Beam, number one in the world, official bourbon of the Kansas City Royals, and it's what's on my bar at home as well. Jim Beam does a great job. You can check out their honey, vanilla, red stag. I got some of the red stag myself already purchased and ready to head home with me. The black extra age, the peach, the apple, great flavors. Jim Beam Fire as well. Check it out right now here at Price Chopper, 500 Northeast Berry Road.
A new way to end your day. The program now from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'm gonna tell
you what you need to know. All right, first of all, you need to know that Jim Beam, all the wonderful flavors of Jim Beam are absolutely fantastic. Of course, you can sample them here. You get just a couple. Well, actually, they're starting to shut things down, but all the great flavors of Jim Beam. So we want to say thanks to everybody on the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour as it is here. In the Northland. So we want to thank everybody for hosting us here at the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour. And of course, we'll have some more stops if you weren't able to get it here today. Just get to wherever you buy your Jim Beam and check out all the great flavors. We're here at the Price Chopper, 500 Northeast Berry Road. You can stop on by and purchase right here. Some baseball news, Giancarlo Stanton back in the lineup. Could be the final game for the Yankees if they don't win. A closeout game for the Astros. Major League Baseball is in negotiation with its 160 minor league teams about efforts to reorganize elements of the system. That's what they're calling it. Could reduce the number of affiliated teams from 160 to 120. Maybe that'll result in a bump in pay for some of the players, as there are questions about the pay of the minor leaguers. Zion Williamson avoided a severe injury to his knee. The Pelicans, number one overall pick in the draft, expected to miss a period of weeks to start the regular season. This is according to Adrian Wojnarowski. However, there was some fear that maybe it was a very serious injury. It appears that it is not as serious as it could have been. Best case scenario for Patrick Mahomes, after the MRI today, according to reports, showed no damage. That's what they got, was the best case scenario. Some people have said as little as 2 to 4 weeks. Other people saying 4 to 6 weeks. The theme I think everybody's going with is four games by week. He can sit out 6 weeks and just miss four games. So that could very well be where they go. I think that's what a lot of Chiefs fans, certainly every Chief fan that wanted Andy Reid to call something other than the quarterback sneak, that's what they would like to see him do. And maybe then just put him on shelf till they get to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Clearly, Andy Reid just needs to call the right plays. They'll be in the Super Bowl. And then you have the opportunity to put Patrick Mahomes in the game and win it. It's really just that simple. Hopefully Andy Reid can see that, right, Kay?
People were talking about Yelich. You know, he's scheduled to come back for the World Series. You know, but they're not going to get to the World Series without Christian Yelich, and that's the same situation here.
Yeah, that's exactly
MVPs
what's going
are
on.
Important. That's why they win those awards.
Yeah, it is important. The Bengals have suspended offensive tackle Cordy Glenn for one game, disciplinary reasons. This is a guy that they gave up a first-round pick to the Bills to go get. And now they're having to suspend him. Things not going well with the Bengals. Anybody think Marvin Lewis could coach a little now that he's gone and they're falling apart?
Maybe a little bit.
Saints have ruled out running back Alvin Kamara and tight end Jared Cook. Thanks, Jared Cook. Finally had a game like he had last year with the Raiders, and then he promptly is now out. Make sure you get Kamara out of your lineup if you've got him. That's a big loss for the Saints, who have been playing great football even without Drew Brees. Brees probably still a couple of weeks away. By the way, how happy am I that my one dynasty team, I made a big trade to go get Patrick Mahomes. It's worked out really well, and he's backed up by Drew Brees. Rudy Stellar. Goes, oh, I forgot about that. He's got a big smile on his face.
Did you just get into the
I did trade
league?
You Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, Rudy's reminding me that I traded him Jacoby Brissett. I did, because I had Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees. What could go wrong? What did I need Jacoby Brissett for?
By the way, Pitt Syracuse just flashed on my screen here, coming up in 6 minutes.
Yeah, I'd love the to orange. Watch it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Sean McVay said today he anticipates Jalen Ramsey and Todd Gurley playing Sunday against the Falcons, so be ready for that. And our buddy Marcus Peters said today he was surprised by Tuesday's trade from the Rams to the Ravens, but left, quote, and here we go, with his head held high. Right before I left, I just went up there and just told everybody, hey, thank you. You feel me? Peter said after today's practice, I know there were some things that were questionable when I first got left from KC to get there, and I just told them, thank you for just believing and trusting in me in the locker room to just be myself. I don't know necessarily what that means, whether it means he came in and he was just as big a pain in the ass in their locker room as he was here, and I'm not sure that he understands that they just moved on from him, maybe because he was said pain in the ass, or, you know, maybe he's growing up a little bit. Either way, tremendous football player. Wish him nothing but the best. Every game, except when he plays the Chiefs.
What would you say you do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the damn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Curtis Seabolt.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
So Ren Petro.
Doctor said I was too healthy, you know, in too good of shape. Don't even know how. Too good of shape.
You didn't go to your physical, did you?
I did not.
WHB.